Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. I said, praise the Lord, Bridgeway. One more time for the Holy Spirit. Come on, praise the Lord, Bridgeway. Can you give yourselves a hand for coming to church in the rain? Proud of you. Way to go. Not sure if it's raining all over Maryland, but I know when I left early this morning, it was raining, and I'm like, I wonder if people are even going to come to church today. And then when I got about a mile away from our church here in Columbia, Maryland, the rain had stopped, and I'm like, oh, Lord, thank you. So I don't know where you are around the world, or maybe you're in Owens Mills, Reisterstown. Thank you for coming to church, whether rain or shine. It's dry up in here, and the Holy Spirit is moving. Amen to that? Well, today is the launch of our new ministry year, and it's when we launch our theme. And so thank you, Lord, for the fact that we get another ministry year to move toward being the vision that God has for all of us. And let's go into prayer for a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you invite us to come into relationship with you. Thank you that we can come to this place. Thank you, Lord, that we can come out of hiding as Tahara was singing. Thank you for the worship and being reminded that you're Yahweh. And so now, Lord, as we go into your word, as we go into this vision message, might it touch our hearts in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray together. Everyone said, amen and amen. Every year at this time, I give a vision message, so it's not really a sermon necessarily, but I do vision three times a year. Here in September, and then the State of the Church address in January, and then the end of the year wrap-up in June. And, you know, we've always desired to be what our vision says, to become a multicultural body of fully devoted followers of Christ who are moving forward in unity and love to reach our community, our culture, and our world for Jesus Christ. Amber and I, along with a small group of people many years ago, like Rich and Beth Becker and Chance Michael Glenn and his wife Marcia and a handful of other people, decided that we were going to follow God's vision to start a multicultural church. We wanted to create a place that people would be sad they had to wait 7 days to come back. And we wanted to create a place that everybody would feel welcome. And now for all of these years, when I look out and I get to see the faces and I get to see throughout the world the impact that Bridgeway is having, it brings me great joy and humility. We organized this church in 1991. We went public Easter of 1992. And while we had about 40 people trying to get up to that first day, when we got up to that first day where we had our first service in the Slayton House in Wild Lake in Columbia, Maryland, we had like 110 people. And we were so excited because we had gone out and we had invited everybody who we could to come to Bridgeway Community Church. We said, invite everyone you know, the dogs, the cats, the rats, just anybody that could make it into church that day, get them there. And we gave the gospel and we preached on the power of God's love. I'm especially touched this morning because, you know, one of the people in the first year of our church that stood up to get saved and invited Jesus Christ into her life was a woman that was at a restaurant called Bennigan's. This restaurant many years ago was in downtown Columbia. And one of the guys on the church planning team was a waiter there. And he told this woman that we're starting this church called Bridgeway. And this woman and her family were not going to church. But she came. She brought her husband. I believe she was pregnant at the time. And when I gave the invitation to stand up to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, Karen Eastham, pregnant with that missionary girl you just saw on the stage, stood up to say yes to Jesus Christ. Karen, would you stand up so we can see you? To see your husband, Frank, in the Lord. Where's Frank? Stand up, Frank. I want people to see you. We often talk about one day maybe we'll all be old and we'll sit in rocking chairs and sit back if God is good to be able to look and see what God has done. So you have to understand, when she prayed to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, Sarah was in her belly. So then when Sarah comes out in time, Sarah makes a decision to follow Jesus. And then their next child, Will Easton, who's a pastor here, decided to accept Jesus. And then their third child, Allie, decided to accept Jesus, went off to Moody Bible Institute. So if you actually want to see the vision of Bridgeway, look at their family, because that's what we're about. Black pastor, Korean wife, black worship leader, white assistant pastor who's gone home to be with the Lord, white church guy who was with me, who's no longer here as a waiter in a restaurant, shares about a church that's open for anybody to come, whether you believe or you don't believe, and that someone comes and we allow the Holy Spirit to do what he does. And that whole family was changed, but all of us are changed because our life is better because of Sarah, because of Will, because of Allie, because of Frank, because of Karen, because of our children's ministry called Bridge Kids, because of our youth ministry, because of our young adults ministry. If you want to know what Bridgeway is about, that's just one example that a pastor who's been pastoring for over 30 years gets to look at and say, only God, by your grace, can you see people saved, discipled, and sent out in ministry. Give God a hand, because that is the vision. I could walk off the stage right now and say, you've seen the vision. By 1994, a couple years later, we started giving out themes. Like, we're going to have a theme to help us move toward this vision. Our first theme in 1994 was moving forward. 15 years later, we had a theme called Beyond Our Wildest Dreams. When we hit year 30, mature and mighty in Christ. And in last year, make it better. We've tried to keep our church on track toward this vision every year with a new theme. Just keep moving us toward being the multicultural body of fully devoted followers of Christ. And throughout the years, I can tell you, we have not been perfect. And I've said that many times. And I realize that Bridgeway is not the church for everybody, but we want it to be. We want to be a church that allows everyday common people from multiple backgrounds to worship at the feet of Jesus and do life together as brothers and sisters, regardless of their color, their class, or their culture. I know we don't always get it right, but we're trying really, really hard. And as we move into our 32nd year of ministry, I want to press in even more for what God has in store for our church. And friends, having come through horrible years of COVID-19 and having navigated the divisiveness of political upheaval and surviving natural disasters and racial and social unrest, along with economic recessions and bank collapse and all of that stuff that has gone on in the last several decades, guess what? We're still standing. And the Church of Jesus Christ is still standing, and the kingdom of God still moves on, and the worshipers of the Almighty Jehovah God still lift up holy hands to God, and we praise him, and faithful servants of God still bend their knee and bow their heads to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and believers all around the world are sharing the gospel and sending missionaries and gathering people in some of the most horrible conditions around the world. And yet, we still believe. As believers, we still believe in the Bible. We still believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We still believe that the God of the Bible so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal and everlasting life. We still believe it. We still believe that people have to read God's word and ingest it into their life and trust that if they walk by faith and not by sight, that they'll be able to be victorious and successful even in a culture that may be moving away from what God has said. We actually believe that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We still believe that Jesus is coming back one day for all those who have placed their trust in him as Lord and Savior. And as we think about a theme, and as I've been asking God about a theme, how could we continue to be the kind of church that God wants us to be? And what theme would move us toward being the church that God desires us to be? What theme would move us toward being the kind of people that God is honored by? And how can we be the kind of community who love one another and serve one another and welcome one another as family and friends as God would desire? I believe that there's a theme that God has laid on my heart. I believe it'll be heartwarming and instructive for all of us as we relate together as brothers and sisters in Christ. The theme for the next ministry year, two words, come home. Come home. As you see this set on the stage, it is a picture of what home can feel like and be like. A place that hopefully is comfortable and comforting, loving, accepting, safe, sincere, a place where authenticity can be. Home, sweet home. Someone said, your heart is where your home is, or your home is where your heart is. And while the theme of home may not resonate with everyone in the same way, because we may all come from different kind of home backgrounds, I believe that God desires that we feel at home with him and with each other. You know, I said in a message last spring entitled Precious Community that Christianity is not just about believing, although it is about believing. It's not just about behaving, although it is about behaving. It's also about belonging, in that we should be in a faith where we don't just believe and have behavior modification, but a place where we actually can belong to God and one another. And what would a precious community of fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ look like if we were to love one another as family, even if we're still getting together our beliefs and our behavior, trying to get all that in order? What would a precious community look like of fully devoted followers? Even if we are black and white and Latino and Asian and Jewish and Arab and male and female, younger and older, if we were surrendered to the Holy Spirit, what would a precious community of that look like? And could Bridgeway even be a place that would lovingly embrace gay and queer people, even though they know that we hold a traditional view of marriage and we see the scripture differently than what they're experiencing based on our understanding of God's word? Could we still be a place where people would feel loved and their families would feel loved? Could we live in the kind of tension and still be family as long as we can agree that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and we are committed to living holy before him? I have a dream that Bridgeway is and can continue to become greater in her development and maturity to be this kind of place, as imperfect as we are, as fickle as we are as human beings, and as crazy as we are sometimes, including me and your pastor, we can create a place where our theology would allow us to at least coexist as we are being sanctified by his word and worshiping together in the same space, as we serve together in the same place, as we grow together spiritually in the knowledge of the word of God, as we are ongoing learning how to be disciples of Christ. I believe that we are and we can be this kind of church. This is the kind of church that I want to be a part of. And this is why I invite all of you to come home. Come home to God. Come home to Bridgeway. And if you've been running from God, or if you have fallen away, if you are a backslidden believer, now's the time. Come home. Even in the chat right now, for those of you online, just say, I'm coming home, if that's you. Say that I'm going to try to come home. I'm going to try to come home to God. I'm going to try to come home to what God has for me. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then come home. Not only here in Columbia, but right there in Owens Mills. I get a report every week of those of you who pray to receive Christ and those of you who are worshiping God and eating ice cream and, you know, cupcakes, you know, all that stuff. But I love you there. And I love you here. And for those of you online, I hear from you as well. And it's amazing the amount of chatter and the amount of messages we get from all over the world. Now listen, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, guess what? Come home anyway. You're welcome here. Some people think that the church is only for those who believe. Listen, God has sent us out into the world to make disciples. And we have to let people know that they can belong here too, even if they don't believe. If Karen Eastham would have come and someone said, but since you don't believe, don't come to church, she would have never gotten saved. And if people take longer because they need to keep coming and keep coming, let's be a welcoming place for what I like to call, are you ready? Pre-believers. Now you might be saying, well, I don't know theologically the whole pre-believer thing. Listen, I don't know either, but I know you do it in your life. How many of you didn't love your children until they made a decision to follow Jesus? No. You loved them as pre-believers. You created family for them as pre-believers. You let them eat at your table. You let them use your restroom, even when they weren't paying rent. Anyway, you get my point. Whether they believe or they don't believe, they're still a part of a place that welcomes them. Is it possible we could be that kind of place? Now, it doesn't mean that the parents change their theology. It doesn't mean they stop praying. In fact, you pray at the table, whether they believe or not. You'd be like, come on, let's pray. Whether they like to go to church or not, you're like, come on, we're going to church. What was happening there? You were treating them as they were going to become believers one day. And whether they did or not, that didn't stop your love for them. So what would it be like if we had a church that just said, come on home? Now, we don't change us. We don't change the word. We're still going to pray before we eat. We're still going to go to church. We're still going to worship Jesus, but you're welcome to be here. That's what I'm talking about. You see, come home is an invitation. You're all going to get a bracelet like this, and it says, come home. And if somebody asks you, well, what does that mean? You can tell them it's an invitation to come home to God or to come home to our church. If you don't have a church home, if you do have a church home, go home. Because there are a lot of people out there, they say they belong to a church, they just don't go to it. I was with a guy the other day, he hadn't been in church in years, but somebody asked him, do you go to church? Yeah, Bridgeway's my church. I just listened, smiled aside. I want to say, you know you ain't been to church in 2 years. So it may be something where it's like, you know what, come home or go home. But stay home, be home. You know, COVID-19, according to Gallup, the pandemic just had a profound effect on U.S. society as it has to do with church attendance. In fact, Americans have been less likely to attend religious services, according to Gallup, over the past 3 years. Even at this point, it doesn't appear that church attendance will revert to pre-pandemic levels. It goes on to say these recent trends have added to the longer-term decline in religious participation that Gallup has documented over the past 2 decades. I thank God that Bridgeway can defy those polls. We've defied it in church attendance, in church giving. It's been astounding. Our vibrant attendance in both campuses, as well as our online virtual campus, is pretty amazing. In fact, under the leadership of Pastor Gary Coiro, we are starting a new virtual partnership program For those of you who are regular attenders at Bridgeway, and Bridgeway is your spiritual home, but you watch us online. In fact, big shout out to Dr. Barbara Williams Skinner in Washington, D.C., and Marshall and Libby Peterson in North Carolina, and Andrew and DeAndrea Carey in Tampa, Florida, Dominique and Janessa Legalbo in Miami, Florida, to name a few of our faithful online attenders. Thank you so much for being a part of Bridgeway. Welcome home, friends. And to all those folks who used to attend regularly and now you aren't going to church anywhere, come home. Come back. Now listen, if you found another church home, Grace Community Church or Union Church or Chapelgate Presbyterian or Crossroads or Celebration Church, any good church, that's great. I celebrate that. I honor the pastors there. I honor the ministry there. I cheer you on. I bless those fine churches and so many others that I didn't mention somewhere in the Maryland area. And I commend you if you are happy and you have found a place that you could call home. But if you're wandering and meandering, unattached to a spiritual home, now is the time to come home. Our theme is an invitation, an open door for you to come home to God, come home to church. No judgment, no questions asked, just welcome. I want us to treat one another as family members, the family members that we are. Let's fellowship in each other's homes. Let's break bread together. Let's pray together. Or like my mom said, and maybe yours did too, I don't know, a family that prays together, what? Stays together. That's why we have Elders Prayer, now called House of Prayer, starting this Wednesday. So when you go to Wednesday Night Alive, you can take any one of the discipleship classes, or you may just want to go to the House of Prayer where the elders and other people are praying together. We do this virtually. We also do it in person. And you can learn more about all those offerings by going to bridgeway.cc/events and click Wednesday Night Alive and see the different offerings there, including House of Prayer. And although we're big, we can get smaller through fellowship together outside of Sunday mornings. And we can create a family feeling in our classrooms as we study together. We can create a family feeling on our volunteer teams as we serve together. We can create a family feeling in our life groups as we pray together and learn together and walk together among our friendships. This family feeling is something I think we can continue to move toward. I've heard people say to me often, "Pastor, this church feels like home." And I love to hear that because there's something you have on me that I've never had before. I've never had to search to go to a church because I grew up under a pastor, which was my dad. Then I went off to the military. Then I went off to Bible college, and while I'd gone to different churches in that time period, I never had to look for a church to be my church home, because then at 24, 25, we started Bridgeway. It's the only church I've ever been in as an adult. I probably don't think I'd ever want to pastor any other church. First of all, they probably wouldn't have me, because I just tell them straight up, I'm whack, and if you're not whack, you can't roll with me, right? I mean, so they'd be like, yep, he's not the pastor for us, okay? So I got that one down. But the reality is I never had to do what all of you had to do, like go visit a church, or as a couple, somebody goes to this one and someone goes to that one, or you take your kids, if you happen to be parents, and you get in a minivan and you drive and you put them in Bridge Kids and stand in line. Like, I've never had to do any of that. So when people come to me and they say, man, this church feels like home, I'm like, that's great, because it's always been mine. And I'm so glad that it works for you too. But it can't just be dependent on me or the clergy to make that family feeling. This is a family feeling that each of you have to create by caring for one another, by the way you serve one another, by the way you pray with one another, by the way you do life together. I mean, if you want to see that family feeling, I'll tell you what, there's one guy that had it, man. He died 2 years ago today, and I honor him. Elder Kevin Thornton, September 10th, 2021. He had that family feeling, didn't he? And that's what I'm talking about. We can do this. And I want to take you to a passage just so you can see where this is sort of emanating from. And then I want to move towards some practical challenges or opportunities I'd like to throw your way this ministry year before we end. It comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It's the first century church. Remember when Peter's preaching in the streets and all these people hear the gospel in their language for the first time and they accept Christ and then they repent and get baptized. Now what do? They create this community, this kind of church feeling. And it says, starting in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to four things, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, I'm going to talk about those four things over the next 4 weeks in a brand new series I'm going to start next week called Table Talk. But pick it up from verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. And here's the key verse that's on the bracelet. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, this was the description of the first century church. After thousands of people heard the gospel, were baptized, and received salvation, and they were doing life together as believers in this new community. And you know, the Bible uses all kind of analogies for the new community of believers, like a body, an army, a holy nation, etc. But this idea and analogy of a family or the household of God is one of the most used analogies in the New Testament when talking about the church. It uses family images, words like brothers, sisters, children, bride, household. Verse 46 really captures this family feeling. It says, every day they met together, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Here it is. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere, authentic hearts. What would it be like if we broke bread together more in our homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts? Bridgeway, I want us and I want your hearts to feel like home in this place. A place where there is comforting, love, acceptance, safety, sincerity. These five words are an acronym for the word class. Bridgeway, let's be a place that has some class. If you agree with that, would you just say amen? Amen. One more time, Owens Mills, say amen. Now, allow me to challenge you with a few opportunities, or at least offer you some opportunities of how you can be a part of taking it to the next level here at Bridgeway. Three things. Now, the first two things everyone can do. The last one is going to be more unique, and everyone won't be able to do it. It's going to take money, and it's going to take time off of work and resources. So I'll get to that point in a minute, but I'm very much aware that's a small slither of people that can do the third thing. But the first two things all of us can do. Here's the first thing, contribute. Contribute. And what I mean by that is, you've probably heard this before, but if you haven't, you'll hear it for the first time. You heard the 4-H model, not the organization 4-H, although we love them, but the 4-H model of Bridgeway. The first H is hotel. That when some people come into the church, the reason why they are coming is they want more of a hotel kind of experience. They're traveling through as guests, and they simply want to feel our amazing hospitality. That's okay with me. It has always been okay with me. For people to pass through, feel the amazing hospitality, and move on. Now, for those of us that call Bridgeway our home, I want to make sure that we offer that amazing hospitality to other people. Extend it to them always. Don't vet people and somehow do a litmus test on whether they're going to feel our love or not based on what they believe or based on what they look like. No, our door is wide open. Whosoever will, let them come. And you're the ones who consider this place your home, the ones that are going to extend that amazing hospitality to other people. I don't know how else to say it. Don't be jerks. Don't be mean. And don't be so stuck up that people have to somehow act right before you will extend acceptance to them. I don't know how else to say that. I hope you're not offended. But the reality is, if we're going to be the kind of church that welcomes people, we have to open the door in such a way that they're actually allowed to come in and let the love of Jesus Christ overwhelm them. Let the worship of Jesus Christ flow into them. Let the word of Jesus Christ go into their lives, and let's let the Holy Spirit do everything else. What about that? Would you be okay with that? But the second age, some people come because Bridgeway is a hospital. You're in need of healing and rest and restoration. You want to feel like this is a place where you can just come and sit somewhere in a corner, and we're always going to be inviting you to do stuff, but you're like, I just can't do anything right now. I am so winded from church hurt, or I'm just so winded from life hurt, or I'm just so tired of everything going on in my life or in my marriage or my job or my career. I just need to come to a place where the worship washes over me. So while everybody else may have their hands up or jumping around, I just need to sit here right now and just receive it. And clench my hands and just let that word and that worship just wash over me. Guess what? You're allowed here. I want you to rehabilitate here, to rest, to feel restored. This place can not only be a hotel for those passing through, it can be a hospital for those who need healing. But you should understand something. You're not supposed to live in a hospital. Just saying, don't make your home at the hospital. There is a time when you need to rehabilitate. This is why Bridgeway can also be the third H, a health club. Health club is when you're getting stronger. Health club is where you're growing and you're reading the word and you're taking the classes and you're growing spiritually and you're getting educated. You're exercising your faith through service. You're learning. I would say to you, we want you to take every class you can. Get trained up in your faith. This is paramount for every believer to know what they believe and why they believe it. This is why we put so much effort into discipleship here. Not only through classes, but through so many other ways where you can grow in spiritual formation and in life groups and fellowship with other people. There's a multiplicity of ways to grow. Bridgeway, for many of you, it has become not just a hotel or a hospital or a health club where you're being built up in your faith, which you should be all the time, but also your home, your home. This is a place where you feel a sense of belonging, a place where you can sit on the couch. I didn't practice this. Let's pray that it holds me up. Amen. All right. All right. I should have did this in rehearsal. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Yeah. A place where you can actually feel like, you know, this is my seat. I belong here. I feel like I can be chill here. I don't always have to be on. Anybody know what I'm talking about, always having to be on? Yeah, if you know what that means, like when you get into the place that you're dwelling, whatever it is, an apartment or a condominium or a townhouse or a single family home, wherever, it doesn't matter. There's just that one place where you can just go and be like, I don't have to be on. Now, of course, we're all in public, so we got to be on to some degree, but it's just that sense of comforting and acceptance, that place of love, you know, that place where we can just be together and at the same time feel safe and and sincere. That's sincerity, actually the Greek word for that, you know, it means non-hypocritical. That's what the Greek word for sincere is. Just a place where you don't have to be hypocritical. You can just be you. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't have to, let's see if we can get up, okay? One, two, oh Lord have mercy. Woo, work those thighs, baby. Woo, do that 10 times. You have to carry me out of here. But even at home, you have chores, right? You know, I had this one pastor, he said, look, when people are serving, I think his name was, he's passed on now, E.K. Bailey. You probably wouldn't even know who he is, but this is his preacher, man. And he would say, look, if you're serving in the church, that's like your chores. You don't get credit for that. He says, doing stuff around the church, serving in the church, you don't get credit for that. That's what you do at home. You do your chores. You want credit, then get out and do something in the world. But when you come home, that's what you're supposed to do. Now, I don't know if all of that is true, but it kind of sounded good to me. And I was thinking, I need to go home and take out the trash now. You know, like, I have chores to do. And so part of it is when you're giving and when you are serving, you're helping us with the chores. And that's why we have all the ministries that are available that you can check out on your way out. And the ministry fair this week and next week here in Columbia, next week in Owens Mills. I hope you'll sign up and serve. We have dozens of ministries. You might be thinking, I want to know how I can get involved. That's how you start. There's got to be something that you can do. I was listening to somebody the other day. They said, yeah, Bishop, that's his first name, up in Owens Mills, he plays the keyboards. Him and his wife would love to do more ministry with youth and young people. I'm like, great, tell them to connect with the right people. I heard other people say, I'd really love to do this kind of ministry. I'm like, great, connect with the right people. Well, guess what? The right people are out there today and next week after the services. I'm going to read you this letter, and I'll tell you the other couple of things that we can do really quickly. But Stephanie Farnsworth wrote this article, and a part of what she says is, I came back to Bridgeway because it was a place where I could walk in and no one knew my tragic story. No one felt sorry for me. I could cry and no one knew my name. I introduced myself to Dr. Anderson after one of the services, and I apologized for not volunteering yet. And his response was, come here to heal. Stay as long as you need to. You are welcome to stay, but if you move on, take what you learn with you and bless the next church. What freedom that gave me. Every Sunday I came to Bridgeway and I prayed with Points of Light Ministry at the front of the stage. I prayed for my marriage. I prayed for my husband. I prayed for myself. I prayed for my girls. Through tears, heaving breaths, and shuddering shoulders, I prayed. I was a bit embarrassed to return each week and thought I would be judged because I still didn't have my life together, but no one passed judgment. They prayed for me again and again and again. Slowly, I started broadening my involvement at Bridgeway beyond Points of Light and the community cupboard. I joined a support group for people going through divorce. I saw I wasn't alone. I learned that God may hate divorce, but he loves me. He had not forsaken me. He was carrying me through the entire experience. I grew to depend on him, and my anxious thoughts were replaced with the scripture, be still and know that I am God. I started attending Wednesday Night Alive classes and learned about this amazing, logical, all-knowing God. And at the Women's Leadership Development Institute, WLDI, I met other fun women who were learning and loving and laughing with music. And my laugh wasn't the loudest one in the room. People had intelligent questions, and I was being challenged and learning again. I was working out my faith and working out my life. Bridgeway was a place of respite for me when I needed it, just like a hotel. Bridgeway was a place of healing when I was coming out of one of the most difficult seasons of my life, just like a hospital. Bridgeway helped me grow strong in my faith and dive deep into God's word, just like a health club. And today, Bridgeway is a place where I have roots planted, genuine relationships, and true purpose. I succeed and I am celebrated. I fail and I am covered. I move forward and I am not alone, just like a home. Stephanie Farnsworth. Wow. I want that to be everyone's testimony. And you can read that. You know, if you go to bridgeway.cc and hit the staff name, Stephanie Farnsworth. You can read it. But I want that to be everyone's story, that no matter what stage of life you're in, you can feel the kind of warmth of home right here at Bridgeway. Okay, here's the second thing. The first thing I said is contribute. The second thing I want to say is connect. Connect culturally. Make it your plan this year to say, I'm going to connect with some other brothers and sisters of different cultural backgrounds at Bridgeway. You know, home is about culture and food and music and experiencing each other's upbringings. But even if you're a part of the same ethnic group, there's a lot of diversity within that. You know, if you're Puerto Rican, for instance, consider eating and gathering with other Latinos from Honduras or Chile or Mexico. In fact, there's a Latin night ministry on October the 6th. And if you go again to bridgeway.cc/events, you can find out about the Latin night. And, you know, if you're African-American, consider inviting our white brothers and sisters over to your home for a meal and build those relationships. You know, as a church population where 25 to 30% are not African-American or African, we have to realize that, you know, there's a lot that other people have to engage in and intentionally give up to be a part of a church like ours. For everyone who's not black, or maybe you're racially mixed, I want you to know that this is your spiritual home too. And I want you to feel that. We are all family. And specifically to our white brothers and sisters who've made a conscious effort, an intentional choice, to walk and worship with those of us who are African American, I just want to say I acknowledge you and I thank you. While white people may be the majority in American society, they're not the majority in the house here at Bridgeway. And we need to honor the fact that racism must extend in all directions. And so I want my white brothers and sisters to hear me. And for those of you of other ethnic groups, but you're not black, thank you for what you give up in order to walk with me as your pastor and with Bridgeway as your church. You see, this kind of multicultural ministry, friends, is very unique in American society, especially with an African-American senior pastor at the helm. This is not normal. Now, I know you're all trying. I know you're all learning. And again, I just want to say for those that are not African or African-American, I acknowledge what you're giving up to do life with me and with our brothers and sisters of color. And I know that some of you take heat for this. And I want to thank you, because it costs you something to be in multicultural ministry. But thank you. Also, for those of you who are white, I know you could go back to white churches anytime you want. And for those of you who are Indian or Asian, Hispanic, Latino, you could go back to your ethnic churches anytime you want. And for my African brothers and sisters in the house, we're really growing with African brothers and sisters from the various countries on the continent of Africa. And I've talked to some of you. You could go back to your African churches anytime you want, because there are specific churches just for your particular country that speak your languages, but you're here. And I want you all to know that I acknowledge that. And I want all the different cultures to be able to kind of assert themselves. I want to see what it looks like to be a part of other cultures besides my own. And I just want to also say for my African-American brothers and sisters, you could go back to the traditional black church anytime you want, right? Some of you have come out of very traditional black churches, and you're like, man, the music is way too white here. I've heard it. And then white people are like, the music is way too black here. I mean, the reality is, unless you go into these subcultures, you have no idea what people are coming out of to be a part of something that is that is so unique, but we've all chosen to walk this multicultural road together with me, with you, with us, and I want you all to know I see you and I thank you. Let's keep it up. By the way, big shout out to Pastor Jen and the Asian ministry from Friday, man. They had an Asian gathering on mental health, and whoa, I was like, yes, yes. Man, consider breaking bread with people who are white or Pakistani or Korean or Romania. I went to a home of a Pakistani family last week, the Gill family. Love this family. I was smacking my lips on their roti and their grilled lamb that he made. And I was just like, yes, this is wonderful. I felt like I was at home. A couple of months ago, I ate at an Indian family's house, and the Kadari family made flavorful chicken and rice, and they presented me with some things from their country. I was like, yes, these people call Bridgeway their home. And if you can't find such connections within the church, find them outside of the church and maybe even invite them to the church. All right, here's the last thing I want to say to you. So those two things I think we can all do, right? We can connect, we can contribute. The next thing is a little bit more nuanced, and that is this. For those of you who can, come home with me to Africa or to Israel. The continent of Africa is the origin of all human life. And there's some of you who have said, I've always wanted to go back. Well, if you have the resources and you have the time off and you want to go with me, I can take 15 people with me as a part of my delegation. Now, it's going to cost $8,500. Some of you are like, I'm out. I even heard it online. Dang, y'all now. Even over there in Owens Mills, you're like, yep, good. Y'all enjoy Africa. October 17th through the 25th, if this is something you want to do, I've taken many people there of many different cultural backgrounds to Nigeria. We will walk the last mile and a half of the enslaved people before they went into the water. And God has blessed me where I'm a chief over there, and I own 10 acres of beachfront property, the point of no return, and I'm calling it the joy of return. And we want to build a place one day where people can come from all over the diaspora, a place that was once death, now would be a place of life and joy instead of sorrow and loss. There's a small documentary on it. If you want to put in Badagry, The Joy of Return, and YouTube, there's a 14-minute documentary that I didn't even know they were taking on the last trip. But you're welcome to go with me. Just write an email, info@andersonspeaks.com, and then my team will take it from there. So that's the first one. The second trip is in the spring, same days, but it's March 17th through 25th. So October 17th through 25th, March 17th through 25th. Now, this one is less money and more people. $5,000 is the cost on this, and I can take 100 people. And if you've been thinking, I've always wanted to go to Israel, but I never knew how I'd get there or how I could go there, again, if God's landing on your heart, you have the resources, there's a payment plan, again, email us and we'll give you the information on what to do next. But if this is something you want to do and you've been thinking about it and praying about it, you actually have an opportunity to do it. It's open to everybody. I can take 100 people. And so you're the first ones to hear about this. I will mention it to my radio audience later, but I want to make sure that my home church gets it first. And we're going to go on the Sea of Galilee. We're going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. We're going to see where the empty tomb was. We're going to see the Dead Sea. Last time I was there, I baptized 22 people in the Jordan, starting with Amber. She was the first one. I had to hold her down a long time to get that sin out, but Lord Jesus, we did it, though. It was in the Jordan, you know. That water's cold, but thank the Lord. Whew. Some of y'all need to get baptized in the Jordan like Amber. Lord, hey, get that wickedness out. Thank God she's not in the house right now. Y'all know I'm messing up. Woo, Lord have mercy. But seriously, you want to get baptized in the Jordan? You know, let's do that. So again, just info@andersonspeaks.com. Let my team handle it from there. Let me end by reminding you of our key verse. It says, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. May our church be a place like that where we can not only go into the public square like the temple courts, but gladly receive people in our homes and extend our lives to one another in sincere ways. Our theme is pretty easy. It's two words, come home. And again, may it be a place of comfort. Not being comfortable all the time, but comforting, loving, accepting, safe, sincere. Bridgeway, let's have some class. And all of Bridgeway said, amen, amen, and amen.